five, six, seven, eight.
This is J.D. Doyle, and welcome to part three of Queer Music Heritage. And I thank you for joining me for this segment. This part includes interviews with Jeff Heiskell, who talks about his solo music and his time with the band The Judy Bats. But the show opens with the music of Richard Cortez, and in particular with the song Be All Right from his new album. I first met Richard at an open mic in New York City in June of 2004, and I could immediately see his appeal. His lyrics have a quirkiness about them, but that quirkiness somehow makes you pay attention, and the lyrics come across with a real honesty.
Well, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm just starting to drink with a friend. Yeah, the party's just begun, and I do not know if it's going to end. Yeah, the city's coming at me with those bright shining lights, the kind that make you wanna get up and go. Well, the drinks are 2 for 1 all night, and we'll stumble home in the daylight, then do the 9 to 5 like a pro. And I said, looks like we're gonna be alright.
Richard has just released his second full-length studio album, so I figured it was time to visit with him and find out about the new CD.
My latest record, Sleeping with Strangers, shows a darker side of my music and my writing. The record is lined with distorted cellos, electric guitars, violas, pianos. But mostly in the writing, I talk a lot about dealing with promiscuity, and really it's all about just discovering who I am as a sexual being living in the gay nightlife.
Is there an overall message to your music?
I think that for me, my music is more about me than people realize. You know, I think people personalize a lot of songs. I know when I listen to some of my favorite artists, I think, God, they must be writing exactly about my life. I don't think that there's a direct message to my music, although a lot of my projects echo specific themes and, you know, stories. For me, it's mostly about dealing with my problems. And, you know, music has always been a really easy go-to for me. So when I was younger, I picked up a guitar and it all kind of happened from there. But mostly it's just about my life and what I'm dealing with. So I'm glad people identify with it more than anything.
I'm going to ask that a different way. What do you think your job is as a singer?
Well, mostly just to sing and entertain. But I definitely think that there is an underlying position that I've taken on, especially as being an openly gay singer-songwriter. I think that my job is to stand proud and speak as loud as I can about the issues that are going on in our community and things that we struggle with as we grow to be accepted just like everyone else.
One thing that attracts me to your music is that the lyrics are so out of the closet. Have you experienced up and down sides of that?
Absolutely. From an early standpoint in my career. And that was always never an issue for me. I mean, I never consciously thought, okay, well, I'm going to write about boys. It was just writing about my life and me. You know, the songs are coming from me, so that's what they're about. And I've never been an indirect person, so being as blunt and as outspoken as I am, I guess the songs just kind of reflect that. You know, you have to realize that these songs started off as, you know, my journals in my room, you know, when I was a kid in my teens. And now that I've taken this to the next level and I've begun to play professionally, you know, yeah, I've had to alter a couple of shows. I've had to not play a couple of songs at certain venues. But that's all a part of the trade. You know, it's really about identifying with your audience and making sure that you can entertain them without making them feel uncomfortable. So, yes, I've had venues ask me to not play certain songs or not use profanity, but I've never once played a venue that is not known from the get-go that I'm an openly gay musician and that that's what most of my original material is about.
In 2005, Richard released a beautiful album, and that applies in several ways. The CD's title and my favorite track is called Craving Something Beautiful, and the CD packaging has one of the sexiest photos I've seen on an album. It is tasteful and still sets a mood and, in a way, even tells its own story.
Tell me about the song, Craving Something Beautiful.
Oh, man, everybody always asks this question, and it's such a great question. This song, man, really takes me back. I was 19 years old. I had just moved back from New York City at a failed attempt at going to college and trying to be an actor. And I moved back into my mom's house, and I was very disgruntled at the time and sort of emaciated and underweight, and had a shaved head and a lip ring and was dealing with a lot of teenage angst at the time. And I met a boy. He gave me a sense of hope, you know, and a sense of a new beginning. And unfortunately, things between us didn't work out. But at the time, it seemed like this travesty that he had left me high and dry, you know, as young gay boys, I'm sure, know, you know, a lot of us tend to be a lot more melodramatic than and blow things way out of proportion. He asked me to go to a Dashboard Confessional concert. And I willingly agreed. And come the night of the show, I like snuggled out a bottle of wine, like from my mom's house, and I'm standing out in the middle of the road, and about an hour passes by and he never shows up. So, you know, then I sort of cried a little or a lot. And then I wrote that song. That's kind of what that song's about, which is why the lyric says, "Why I'm still standing here. Your car's already driven out of sight." You know, I mean, the song is specifically about that situation.
Remember that one time I played you a few songs of mine? I was blushing, you were impressed. You sure were something special, you said you wanted more. And before I knew it, we both were undressed, yeah. You hung around a few times, the feeling was sublime. We fell asleep with no clothes on. Your body was so close, I thought I heard you speak. But in the morning I saw you crawling out of my bed. And you don't have to explain it. Put your clothes back on, I'll look the other way. I'm not gonna beg you for more. I'm not gonna ask you to stay, but next time you're craving something beautiful, and you're humming one of my old tunes, no, I was more than willing to love you, and we'd waste the day away, smoking pot and watching cartoons. It's not supposed to be this hard, it's supposed to be a routine. In which I forget your name, yeah. But still what's left to be seen is why I'm still standing here. Your car's already driven out of sight, whoa. Oh, why I'm still standing here. Because I need it, because it felt so right. Remember the last time we knew nothing would be just fine, and I fell apart at your feet. You said you wanted something a little less intense, a little more discreet. Well, you don't have to explain it. Put your clothes back on, I'll look the other way. I'm not gonna beg you for more. I'm not gonna ask you to stay, but next time you're craving something beautiful, and you're humming one of my old tunes, no, I was more than willing to love you, and we'd waste the day away, smoking pot and watching cartoons. It's not supposed to be this hard, it's supposed to be a routine. In which I forget your name, yeah. But still what's left to be seen is why I'm still standing here. Your car's already driven out of sight, whoa. Oh, why I'm still standing here. Because I need it, because it felt so wrong. Explain. clothes back on, I'll look the other way. I'm not gonna beg you for more. I'm not gonna ask you to stay, but next time you're craving something beautiful and you're humming one of my old tunes, no, I was more than willing to love you. And we waste the day away, smoking pot and watching cartoons, smoking pot and watching cartoons, smoking pot and watching cartoons.
You started your own label in 2004, Wohlenberg Records. What's been the advantage of that?
I've just always felt extremely free. I've never felt held back or in my writing or in my recording or production, you know, especially on this last project, Sleeping with Strangers. You know, I was able to orchestrate, you know, gorgeous songs and work, you know, with no limitations, with minute-long upright bass solos and cellos and all kinds of things and writing concertos and things like that, you know, that are all throughout the project. And I never once felt like, oh, well, this song will be too long and no one will like it, because the only person that I have ever had to answer to is me.
Talk about the song Body of Water.
Oh, Body of Water. I wish you could see the smile on my face. That song is about a boat captain that I came to know. And we became lovers, you know. It was nothing serious. It was very casual. And I just remember coming home one day, and I sat on the piano, and everyone had already gone to work. And I just remember the sun was just, like, beaming down on me that day in this amazing way, and the whole world was just so beautiful, because I was radiating that joy that sex and love kind of brings into your life when it's a good thing. So I just remember thinking, you know, I just wanted to write, and I love that feeling. So I sat down and I wrote Body of Water in one sitting, and it's just all about, you know, my love for him and my love for, you know, our relations in the way of it being like the ocean.
I can still smell you on me, bittersweet. Something's changed about the way you kiss me. Oh, you never miss a beat. You're gentle to the touch. I like it very much. You're like the ocean air, so clean. I see you sleeping there, serene. So cast off, let's go for a ride. I don't care what body of water, so long as you're by my side. Let's set sail today, Bermuda or Bombay. And it may not be easy, we may fail, we may sink, but I'm willing to walk the plank for you, all for you. Oh, captain, my captain, it's an uncertain sea. One minute I can walk on water, next it's swallowing me, but I am
What song of yours gets the most audience reaction?
But live shows, it really just depends on the set list. A lot of times, Sleeping with Strangers gets a really great response from people, and even the most crowded of bars, you know, which I play in a lot of bars, people get really quiet, because I think that just even the three words put together is very taboo. And so they kind of, you know, they get very quiet, and they get very, you know, interested in what I'm about to say.
Tell me more about that song.
That song was a really hard song for me to write. And the record sort of, you know, it's the spine of the album. It's the core. you know, I had the phrase in my mind, sleeping with strangers, for a really long time, and but I just couldn't sit down to write it because I just wasn't ready to face the fact that that's what my life had become. I spent so much time wasted in the last few years, I think frivolously giving myself away to people because I had very little respect for myself and my self-esteem was really low, you know? So that song, to me, represents a lot of personal struggle and, you know, coming to, in a sense, and realizing it. I was going to a lot of seedy sexual places, doing a lot of cruising, going to the back rooms of porn stores and stuff like that. And when I sat down to write it and I faced myself for the first time in what seemed like forever, you know, that's what came out.
Loneliness, you're bringing me down. And all these salty tears I've cried, they're drowning this whole town. You think I'd learn my lesson? You think by now I'd know? It don't matter how hot you're feeling when your heart is beating 20 below. 20 below, sleeping with strangers, but dreaming of you. The man that I live for, the man I never knew. I stumble through packed bars, looking for you. And just when I find him, turns out it's not you. Emptiness. The nights are so cold. Well, I'm drunk and passed out with no clothes on. This routine is getting so old. You think that I'd be satisfied? You think that I could smile? Well, my friends all try to comfort me, but it only lasts for a while. So I'm sleeping with strangers, dreaming of you, the man that I live for, the man I never knew. I stumble through packed bars, looking for you. And just when I find him, turns out it's not you. Did you lose your way? Tell me it's not too late. You know I'll try to wait, but baby it hurts so bad. So I count the days, keep track while you're away. You know I'll try to wait, but baby it hurts so bad, so bad, so bad. Sleeping with strangers, but dreaming of you, the man that I live for, the man I never knew. I will, I'll be here at the bar, waiting for you. I hope when you find me, I know that it's you.
One of the things I like about your writing, the lyrics and the writing style comes across as being quirky, but that quirkiness, I think, works with you because it comes across as more honest.
I definitely think that's a really great way to describe my writing. I think that my quirkiness is also a way that I get away with a lot of the things that I want to say that are sort of outlandish or inappropriate or, you know, you shouldn't say that kind of stuff. So I kind of smile and put on a little, you know, grin, and I'm like, oops, you know, I shouldn't have said that, but I did, you know.
Tell me about the song Ode to Johns.
That song is really interesting because I wrote it in pieces, and that's normally not how I write. This song actually took years to write, believe it or not. I wrote it when I was living in New York City, which is why the song talks a lot about meeting someone in Soho. And, you know, I wrote a lot of that, the first couple of verses and the first chorus when I lived in New York in 2003. And then, you know, the song kind of got shelved for a while in the back of my mind, but I always kept it because I liked it and I thought it was catchy and I thought it was, you know, fun. And that's such a hard thing for me to do, is fun, because my music is so much oftentimes so serious and heartbreaking, you know, and heart-wrenching. So for me, I wanted to keep this song and I wanted to finish it one day. And then I just sat down and the rest of it kind of came out of me.
John waits tables at some lousy restaurant. People don't tip real well. He works his ass off and makes next to nothing. It's a real show and tell. He brings their food, they're beyond rude, and make a mess of a perfectly good napkin design. All the while, John, carrying on, waiting patiently for the arrival of closing time. I met John at a party in Soho. We were standing trying to get a cup for the punch bowl. He said his name, I said mine. I dropped my cup, he picked it up and said, hey, aren't you kinda young to be in with this crowd? Well, I gave a smirk and called him a jerk and said, let's go outside, 'cause the music is bad and they're playing it awfully. And his roommate Jeffrey, he asked if I liked leather. I said, well, you know, I'm not that kinky. Then he said, well, what are you looking for, baby? I said, I didn't know. Maybe something a little more stable. And then it started to snow and he said, take it from me, I've been around, I've seen the bottom of every bottle, and I know this town. Don't waste your time trying to fill the void, he said, avert your eyes, it's yours to hide. Don't run around like the glass is half full trying to be Mr. Right. You've got a lot to learn, boy. It's going to be a long night.
Talk about the song Morning After.
Oh, this is a great song and a very important song for the project. You know, as you'll notice, once you listen to Sleeping with Strangers the whole way through, it's almost a story in a way. You know, the first song, Be All Right, is kind of a party song. But when you come to The Morning After, it's from the opposite perspective. It's from the person inside of me that has hurt people before. And so many times in my music, and even in my personal life, I love to play the victim. I mean, I think that that's one of the easiest things for a writer to do. And when I wrote The Morning After, I wrote it because I thought, well, with this project specifically, talking about promiscuity and talking about the nightlife and talking about, you know, the gay community in a raw, uninhibited sexual sense, everybody has that predator inside of them that sleeps with someone knowing good and well that they never plan on talking to them again.
People not reading the title should know that this is not Morning After as in the time of day.
No, it's spelled MOURNING as in the morning after, the loss, you know, that feeling of regret. I think that it stings a little every time, at least for me, it always stung a little every time I left someone that way.
I don't want to move for fear of waking you. I don't want to breathe because I might see what it looks like when your heart is breaking. I'll just lace my laces in the dark, and then I'll leave you in the dust, and I won't be sorry, baby. No, I won't be sorry at all. 'Cause I know that I won't call for fear that I may fall. I just want you to know you to wait for me. I don't want to speak another empty lie, that every time I say how I feel, it only ends in goodbye. It's like a mourning the loss of you, the morning after, only I feel nothing at all.
Talk about Crazy Fool.
This is the response to The Morning After. This is that person with the glimmer in their eyes. The phrase Crazy Fool is actually the person referring to themselves. You know, maybe I'm a crazy fool to think that you could love me because we just used one another for sex.
I just woke up. Guess you're leaving. I can't recall your name. I never told you mine. Two perfect strangers lost in the moment, running out of things to say, running out of time. I don't know how you take your coffee. I ought to take that as a sign. Do you like your eggs over easy, baby, or sunny side up like mine? And maybe I am just a crazy fool to think that you could find the time let me start this whole thing over again and call you sometime. Oh, maybe I could call you sometime. Crazy fool to think that you could find the
time to let me start this whole thing over again and call you some time. Oh, maybe I could call you some time. Oh, last night was blazing passion. You know, I'm not sure where you came from, and I don't know where you'll go. Is there someone at home waiting for you? You know, I guess I'll never know. And maybe I am just a crazy fool to think that you could find the time to let me start this whole thing over again and call you some time. Maybe I could call you some time.
This is Richard Cortez, and you're listening to Queer Music Heritage.
And you've been hearing music from the latest CD by Richard Cortez called Sleeping with Strangers. Find out more about his music at www.wolenbergrecords.com. My second interview for this segment is with Jeff Heiskell. He's got quite a career, and in the 90s was frontman of the popular band The Judy Bats. He's recently gone solo, and since 2007 has released two albums on his own, just under the name Heiskell. His lyrics have gotten much more gay, and we'll talk about that, the two releases and the Judy Bats. His latest album has the humorous title of Clip-On Nose Ring, and we'll start with that one.
Clip-On Nose Ring is me, Jeff Heiskell, writing my own songs for the first time. Musings on some tentative relationships between men, some of them broken relationships, some joyous, some of them with men that are very well fed, and there's also one song on there that is about a girl from my past.
How did you come up with the title for the album?
Tim and I, we were recording one day, and we went out to get something to eat. We were having a conversation about something, and I don't know who, or we were talking about somebody. I said, Clip-On Nose Ring. We just got the giggles, and I was like, that's what we're going to call the record. Absolutely. And just, in a way, that whole cover and everything, and even that smirk on my face, I'm kind of, the fact that it's not a rock record, despite that, I'm a little bit poking fun of these people who have the piercings and the tattoos and all the black leather and all that stuff, who think they're somehow cutting edge. And, you know, that's all just an outward projection of something that's probably not really true.
Just costume.
Yeah, it is. It's like Halloween every day. So I'm a little bit poking fun at everybody.
Is there an overall message to this album?
I don't know. I did not plan to write this record the way it is. I did not sit down and say, I'm going to write a bunch of songs about relationships with men, you know, and not you, and, you know, choose to use he, you know, that was not planned. The first song I wrote, it just happened. And I had to think about it for several days because I thought, now, if I write this one song like this, I'm opening up a can of worms and they're all going to be kind of like this. But I don't know if there's a message. You know, that I Want the World to Change is pretty, it's a little bit political for me. It's a little unusual, but I had that one line that's in the break, you know, and I don't know. I actually came up with that entire chorus a cappella in my truck. It's a good thing that I had my little hand recorder with me.
You don't know what it's like. There's no holding hands. Out in the streets, it's the same all across these lands. Wish I were the captain on this sinking ship of food. And anyway, who made these rules? I want the world to change just for me. And I want it all so selfishly. I want it to be all I can be. Because I can be great. 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 I got a friend who's black. Well, he's really kind of brown. He don't feel comfortable in my part of town. Now I could sell my house and move so he'd keep coming round. Truth is drunk, my neighbors, I'd burn them. I want the world to change just for me. And I want it all so selfishly. I want it to be all I can be. Because I can be great. 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 In my world, I don't care who you're screwing, as long as they are not doing who I'm doing on the side. Should I wed someone with the same equipment? Would that put you off? And if it puts you off, should I care? Should I lie? To change just for me, and I want it all so selfishly. I want it to be all I can be. Because I can be great. 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 Because I can be great.
Is this the first time you've done lyrically gay songs?
No, not if one listened closely. It's the first time I've done an entire record and decided to say, you know, I'm a gay man doing a gay record. I've never did that before. The record I put out under the Judy Batts name in 2000, there's a song called Hiding from the Face of God that is about some latent guilt about being involved with a man, that anybody should know that if they listen to it. But I think some people just didn't even notice it.
Here comes the shame. We're too much the same. Is love itself not? No saving grace.
would you compare the sound of High School to the Judy Bands?
Oh, a little bit more somber, not really worrying about pop hits on the radio so much, which was very much something that Warner Brothers expected, which was kind of by falling out with all of that whole real music business. Yeah, I think, you know, it's got some grittier guitars in it. It's moodier, it's dreamier, but with no real thought as to we're going to write 6 3.5-minute pop songs with a certain beat per minute that you could take to radio. That's what it was all about. We have our own studio. It's not rushed the way those other records were. You're in a studio. It was costing a lot of money. We just wrote these songs when we had time and when we were in the mood and when we were drinking. You know, so it's a much freer environment in which to write.
Were you out of the closet during the Judy Bats?
No. It came out all over the place in the lyrics and stuff. I just figured a lot of people knew that I was gay, which I was wrong about that. I found out about that when I put this record out, and I put some stuff on the website. I had all these people emailing me, said, you know, a lot of them were guys, like, I never knew that. I just figured everybody knew that, and it was not something I had to talk about. I wasn't ready for that, to be the focus of my art and what I do. Back then, I just wasn't comfortable enough to do that. I mean, do you understand that?
Yeah, kind of. You said elements of that came out in the Judy Bats anyhow. What would be the queerest Judy Bats song?
There's a song called Our Story, in which I used the line, you know, boy, oh boy, you know, that's something that, you know, it's a little bit more of a Yankee thing than a Southern thing. But that just phrase you'll hear, and there's a line in that song numerous times that say, boy, oh boy, you bring me joy, but then you make me blue. And a lot of people got that, but that was a reference to a man. I would say that's the main one.
This is our story. It's a short one, but it's a hard, harsh read. Between the lines, a little aching need. No strange arrangements, no strings, but the music we make is 17 and bittersweet. In my youth, you know, I loved you like gangbusters, and now I watch you fall. Twisting, turning, growing small. You're a room full of sorrow, a spoonful of joy, another infidelity, another pain, another golden glittering boy. I want you. I know it's crazy, but I really want to leave you too.
Our Story was from the 1992 album Down in the Shacks Where the Satellite Dishes Grow, and gee, that seems pretty out of the closet to me. You're a room full of sorrow, a spoonful of joy, another infidelity, another pain, another golden glitter boy. I want you, boy oh boy, you bring me joy. I guess people hear what they want to hear. If you could pick one Judy Bats song to tell me about, which one would it be?
Oh, gosh, I guess. I know this is the one that was kind of the hit that everyone remembered the most. Native Son was really written about me going through a period when, you know, do I surrender to my passions, which is music, and I was in my late 20s then, or do I go to law school and do something practical? And that song is kind of exploring me not wanting to go in that direction. It was a real decision I had to make. I could not go to law school and try to become a successful attorney and be a musician at the same time.
I
That was the title track from their album Native Son from 1991. How many releases did the Judy Bats have?
We did 4 records on Warner Brothers, and then in 2000 we did kind of an independent record that came out under the name Judy Bats. It's actually a pretty good record, but as far as, you know, major label career thing, it was those 4 that came out. The first one came out in 91, I think the last one came out maybe 95, something like that.
I want to jump to the new releases now and get Jeff to talk about the 2007 album, Soundtrack for an Aneurysm.
This is my first solo-ish effort since being in the Judy Bats, some people might remember. The songs on this record, Love on the Dissolve, Little Boys Growing Up to be Drag Queens, Redneck Gas Huffers, and a song about my dying mother, that's what you'll hear.
Tell me about the title, Soundtrack for an Aneurysm.
Well, you know, just a soundtrack for an aneurysm. I was sitting with a buddy of mine, and it just kind of came to me, and I started giggling. And I said, I know what I'm going to call the record now. He's a musician, too. And he said, oh, soundtrack for an aneurysm, and he busted out laughing. It really sums up a lot of my humor. It's, you know, maybe it's a little bit dark. It's cryptic. Also, some of the songs are very short on there. I think they're just short bursts of something perhaps a little bit painful.
When I talked with Jeff about this album, of course I could not pass up the chance to mention that I really liked the song called The Death of Knoxville Cool. I'll let you hear the song first and then Jeff's comment.
Trolling in the park today, I spied a little boy so fey. His mother's misty eyes meet mine. This instant where we both divide.
Yeah, I actually had someone who I kind of had in mind as far as the drag queen that little boy grows up to be.
Uh-huh.
The oddest thing, I was in there about 2 weeks ago. He actually owns a gay bar here in town now. And it turns out he had bought the record and listened to that. And he was in full drag. He goes, you know, and that sounds like me. He says, because, you know, I lived in Buckhead for a while. And I said, well, Raz, I said, actually, the adult part is based on you. He was just completely shocked.
And I hope flattered.
Yeah, oh yeah, he was, yeah.
I've played Gasoline on my show before. Tell me about that one.
Well, my dad owned several trailer parks when I was a kid. And there was this guy that drove this Camaro that was a paint huffer. All he did, he lived in a little trailer in the back of one of the parks. And he worked on cars. His brain was just kind of gone. And he always had paint on his clothes. It was just the oddest thing. Kind of put the song together. I do the arranging. And had no lyrics for it. And Mike, the drummer, said, this song has to be about a gas huffer, and it has to be called Gasoline. And I said, okay, done. I'll go home and write lyrics for it. So I wrote that on assignment.
Gas huffer?
Yeah. You never huffed gasoline when you were a kid?
Uh-uh.
Good Lord. People that sit around and, like, you know, huff gas and get stoned?
No.
It's a very interesting buzz. I thought all kids had tried that at least once or twice.
Eight-track heart, got a broke rewind. He huffed that stuff till he gone blind. He flies like a kite, high from the ground. The fiber flies, fame coming down. He's a bump in the road,
bump in the road,
a bee on the vine,
bee on the vine,
birds in flight, a long yellow line, in the trail of heart, of a tin can sky, already gone, with the wink of an eye. Life's a shotgun. Life's a shotgun.
Life's a shotgun.
Growing mean.
Growing mean.
Love's a red light.
Love's a red light.
Going green.
Going green.
Breath smells like gasoline.
Time to get back where we started, with the new album, Clip-On Nose Ring. Tell me about the Chubby Guy song.
Well, I just came up with that chord progression, and I just came up with that first line. You know, it's like Brad Pitt versus the Shoney's Big Boy. And I just kind of went from there. And I was giggling the whole time I was writing it. I was like, I cannot write this. This is so over the top. And, I get, you know, jabs from people. You probably won't ever see me in the company of anyone that's kind of a skinny guy like me. I tend to be attracted to people that are, just, you know, kind of bigger fellas. Well, what's a polite term? Big boned. But, I just decided to take that whole idea and just completely blow it out of proportion. It was a lot of fun. But I've had a lot of people talk about that song.
It's like Brad Pitt versus the Shoney's Big Boy. Some TV pretty or 300 pounds of joy. Kindly put, you're a different kind of hunk. You're really built, but it's sort of like a tree trunk. You got a six-pack, but it's hiding underneath a case of Budweiser.
you're just that much more beautiful. You're just that much more beautiful. You're just that much more beautiful to me. Some of us like our fellas all super size. We don't want no kids' meal, we don't need no prize. Another Friday night, another broken bed. Another afterglow, another loaf of bread. You're kinda heavy. Hell, you're really heavy, heavy, hon. A hairy half ton. Scary, big, fun, digging. But you're just that much more beautiful. You're just that much more beautiful. You're just that much more beautiful to me. I've heard everything and all what not. Like you're gonna need some Martha White to find that spot. Does that white load come with a caution light? Are you gonna climb that mountain? Well, I think I might. And maybe always, through an eclair of happy days, I do chubby. That's my hobby, don't you know? He's just that much more beautiful. He's just that much more beautiful. He's just that much more beautiful to me.
There was one I really liked, but it has fuck in the middle. Best Broken Dream?
Best Broken Dream. Yeah, I think that's one of the best songs on there. That's actually the second song I ever wrote. Wore me out writing it. As far as me sitting down and writing a song all by myself, that's the second song I've ever written all these years.
That's a pretty good song, but of course I couldn't play it, couldn't include it in my show for broadcast radio.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, as it turns out, I'm not using this interview for broadcast radio. So here's the song, Best Broken Dream.
You know it's really hard to change. Your heart gets used to it, your thoughts won't rearrange. You're everything I should avoid. Yet I cling to you, crazy paranoid. You know it gets hard, always being on guard. You're the best broken dream I ever had. A little happy and all that sad. You're the best broken dream I ever had. A little goodness in that big old bag. Say that I'm your number one, but you're a big fat zero when all is said and done. You'd rather fuck than fight mostly. Otherwise we're rocking in between the sheets. My little nightmare, sleeping right there. You're the best broken dream I ever had. A little happy.
Best Broken Dream from the CD Clip-On Nose Ring by High School. And you can find out more at www.highschoolmusic.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Music Heritage, and again, I thank Richard Cortez and Jeff High School for the interviews, and you for listening to part 3 of the show. We're down to the last song, and it's a very fun cover version of a Dolly Parton song. How did you decide to do the song Jolene?
Basically, I have wanted to do Jolene for 4 years. And when I would bring it up, the twins I was working with just got kind of weird about it. They just couldn't envision it. When I said, I want to do a really creepy baritone version of Jolene. And they just couldn't handle it. They come from this whole rock ethos. And I don't think that they could really understand that. Whereas, you know, right before I started recording, I mentioned the idea to anyone else, and they were like, shit, that sounds awesome. And really, the Jolene, I mean, you do a cover. I've gotten a lot of really nice emails from people about that version.
Please don't take him just because you